Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how are you doing, my friend? We're off a bye week, ready to talk about some actual football.
Great, Jim. Yeah. I didn't like the bye week going in so darn early, but it's time to come back. I know they get two byes, and I like that, but that's real early. So, and they're coming back with a glorified scrimmage, right? So, but a lot of football to talk about. Let's hit it.
Let's definitely hit it. You're right. The bye was early. But I think after a game like they had against Bowling Green, where no other way to put it, they struggled in the first half of that game, Andy, probably not bad timing for them. If it were only one bye on the season, yeah, it's way early. But with a couple byes, this isn't the worst thing in the world.
It's not. They only struggled a little bit defensively, and then they fixed it. But, yeah, you know, they've got some stuff to figure out on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll talk about that later. So, you know, it wasn't terrible timing. I just don't like it. I just didn't like it. That's all there is to it. I just didn't like the timing of it. Or football.
Yeah, well, I got you. As fans, once they start the season, come on, let's keep getting football.
Right.
We will talk about this Kent State game in a bit. The fact that we're talking about bye weeks, Andy, can I do a quick shout out to my nephew? Let me tie this in with the byes, okay? Over the last couple of years, I've had nephews and nieces getting married. I swear, like the last four of them, they selected to get married in the fall on a Saturday, okay? I have my next one with the Penn State-UCLA game, which I will miss because I have a nephew getting married. Now, my other nephew, to his credit, now he's a Penn Stater, so he's smart enough. He's having his daughter's one-year-old birthday party. He picked it for a bye weekend.
That's an Italian family member with his priorities in order, right, Jimmy? I mean, you're complaining about your nieces and nephews and all of that, but you're Italians. You guys have big families and you do big parties and big get-togethers.
Well, anyway, the wedding that's coming up in a couple of weeks, it's from the other side of the family, not blood relationship. So they don't know any better, Andy. All right, let's move on to our show. Let's talk some football. We are a few weeks into the season, and we spent much of the offseason talking about the changes that were going on this year. So many of them. But let's start with realignment. And what I want it now is that we're a couple weeks into this.
Yeah.
What is your take on these changes? We had realignment. We have the 12 teams playoff schedule now. The portal and the NIL keeps moving on. Well, let's start with the playoff. The fact that it's a 12-team playoff now, has that changed your perception of the game? Has the fact that we're 3 weeks in, what has gone on that has changed how you feel about it, if at all?
So I like the 12-team playoff and the way I watch the way you watch college football now. From my perspective, I will tell you one thing that's different is it's okay to lose, right? Like before, losing was like, you lost one, you were like, oh man, we're like now fringe, right? Like, you can't possibly lose another game at all, pretty much, in the 14 playoff. You can lose now. What I found myself watching through the 12-team playoff was, it's how you lose and what happens and who you lose to, and you know what kind of game was it. I think all of that stuff will kind of matter, like a little bit more of the eye test instead of a little bit more of straight numerics. I think you're going to get more eye tests with college football. So, you know, looking at teams that are possible playoff teams, I watch them a little differently, particularly ones that have lost. Like I watched Florida State against Georgia Tech, and I was like, yeah, that's not a playoff team. And it wasn't because they lost, right? It was just how they lost. And I'm like, and, you know, it just goes further and further. But it has changed a little bit the way I've watched. And the conference realignment was kind of like, I'm not sure. It kind of feels like remember we would say, Jimmy, we're headed to a power two or two power conferences. But we're not headed there anymore. We're there. Yeah, it took 3 weeks. In my opinion, it took 3 weeks. Yep, we're there. Give the other conferences, give the group of five, you know, their bid. Give the other conference champions, Big 12, ACC, your winner gets in. Good. After that, for me, Jimmy, it's been all about the SEC and the Big Ten.
That's a good point. You and I were talking about this topic the other day, and I hadn't thought about it that way, Andy, that has the ACC has just shot themselves in the foot multiple times because the people that are supposed to be at the top, Clemson just got embarrassed by Georgia. Florida State, well, they just keep embarrassing themselves every week.
Yeah.
So I think Miami's the only team that you look at and say, hey, you know, they deserve a bid out of the ACC. And if they win it, if you look at Clemson in any kind of tiebreaker, you know, that Clemson, that Georgia game makes you say, you know what? No, they got themselves embarrassed by the Southeast Conference school. We'll take someone else from the Southeast Conference or the Big Ten. So based on what we've seen so far, it very well could be the 9 out of the 12 teams come from those two conferences, and I think deservedly so. But, Andy, what I find fascinating is a lot of folks who were not advocates of the 12-team playoff, they said it diminished the regular season. And I don't think it's necessarily the case because obviously more teams are involved with a 12-team playoff, so more teams will have, you know, games with playoff implications. But you also have a situation, I'll use Notre Dame as the example. A lot of folks would say, hey, they lost to a MAC team. They don't deserve to be in the playoff conversation anymore. In a 14 playoff, that would have been the case.
Correct.
But now, if they run the table and go 11-1, I firmly believe they'll be in the playoffs. But, Andy, what this does is there will be those that argue, see, that diminishes the regular season. I say, no, it's kind of like a nice compromise. Notre Dame was hurt significantly by this loss, and they probably won't make the playoffs because of this. However, there's still a path there. You keep Notre Dame fans still engaged, and their games the rest of the way. Everyone becomes essentially a playoff game because they can't lose again.
And, you know, the MAC team, the group of five team they lost to, is ranked, Jimmy. And they're seen as possibly, you know, a contender to get in. But you win 11 games, you're making it. I don't care who you are, where you're from, or who you lost to. You're 11-1 in a 12-team playoff, Jimmy, you're going in. It doesn't matter who you played in your schedule and who you lost to. 11-1 in. End of story. I don't think College Football Playoff Committee can eliminate anybody at 11-1. 10-2, it gets sticky, doesn't it? But I still think 10-2 is good enough.
Well, I think there could be a tiebreaker when you get to 10-2. I think there's a very good chance a 10-2 team won't make it. There could be several 10-2s in the playoff, but there's a very good chance there's also a 10-2 who won't make it, Andy. So, I've been a fan of the 12-team playoff, and now as we get going, even more so.
One other thing about this while we're talking. Here's the other part of it for me. The runner-up in the SEC and the Big Ten, the other team in the championship game, I don't care what happens in the championship game, they're in. That to me, they're automatically an in team. I don't, because then you're saying, is it your team that didn't make the championship game from one of those two conferences? Include them too. But are you telling me a second ACC team? No chance. Maybe kind of on the outside looking in, possibly a Big 12 second team. Okay, maybe. Possibly I still need a little more shakeout there. The ACC, in my opinion, is definitely out for getting a second team in. I'm watching, whoever makes the championship game from the SEC and the Big Ten, it matters who wins, but it also doesn't matter. Big picture in the college football playoff, they're going. That's obvious to me now, too, already.
I think you're probably going to be right, Andy.
Probably.
Here's how it could not work out that way. We're looking at, you know, the way that you and I described it, where only three bids go to ACC, Big 12, and Group of Five, which leaves nine teams from Big Ten and Southeast Conference. If that's the case, and say it's like 5-4, say five Southeast Conference teams, four Big Ten teams, there's no way the loser of the championship game would drop to like fourth or fifth, okay? But if you had a scenario where there were two Big 12 teams, if there were the five Southeast Conference teams, if there was Notre Dame, where I'm getting at is if you're down to only two or three bids for the Big Ten, what if you have a round robin, Ohio State goes undefeated, Oregon and Penn State have two losses, Oregon wins the tiebreaker to finish second and gets spanked by Ohio State, do you still take Oregon ahead of Penn State, even though Oregon now has a third loss and Penn State has two?
Jimmy, you have to take them both. There's just not enough there on the other conference's bones to give me a reason not to include both teams under that scenario. That's the other thing is, these two conferences are deep enough to dominate.
You're probably right, Andy. Where the championship game probably hurts the ACC and Big 12 by adding the championship game probably eliminate the chance of a second team.
They might. I think the Big 12 has a better chance than the ACC of maybe not that being the scenario, but it's darn near impossible for me to see the ACC getting two teams.
All right, Andy, that is it for quarter one. We got lots more to go. Stick with us through the break. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing. Built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, before we get started with quarter number two, just a reminder, next Tuesday, that is September 24th, we are going to be doing a live show from Downtown State College at the cafe. Rogers Alexander, former Penn State star, he's going to be our guest for the show. If you know Rogers, you know it's always unfiltered. He tells it to you like it is. Wonderful guest to have on. We're doing this at the cafe, Downtown State College. Also brought to you by Pulp Daddy Beer. There'll be Pulp Daddy specials that you won't want to miss. Fantastic beer. It's a Penn Stater who makes the beer, Andy. It's fantastic. If you haven't tried it yet, Tuesday will be that opportunity. So we're looking forward to seeing you. We will be recording our show at 6 o'clock. Get in before that. Chat with us a little bit. One other thing, during our live recording, we're going to take questions from the audience. So if you want to be part of the show too, you'll get that chance also. All right, Andy. quarter number one, we talked about essentially the 12-team playoff and how it's going so far. Me, I know it's very early, but I think it's already enhanced the game, and it will make it even better going forward.
Agreed.
I also, we didn't get to it in quarter number one, but I wanted to ask you about it also. The realignment, we haven't yet seen a tangible difference because teams have moved conferences. This weekend, though, Andy, will be the first real evidence of it. We've got two huge games, one in each conference, Southeast Conference and Big Ten. You got Tennessee going to Oklahoma. What a huge game that one is.
Big one.
And then in the Big Ten, we have Michigan is hosting USC.
There you go.
Two monster games, Andy.
So these are the lid lifters, right, to the realignment where the depth of the conference, the two power conferences, is going to show it's going to show itself, right? I think the SEC already showed itself last weekend already, Jimmy, into it. LSU, South Carolina, that showed me everything I needed to know about the depth of the SEC, followed by Georgia and Kentucky, right? Like, Kentucky's in the bottom of the SEC right now, Jimmy. They're 1-2. I mean, look at it from a Penn State perspective, right? Do you want to play Kentucky next week? No. They are a 1-2 team. They're at the very bottom of the SEC right now. But, you know, they've lost to South Carolina and Georgia, and both games were dogfights, absolute dogfights that could have literally gone either way. So I already learned about the SEC in that. I can't wait to see USC and Michigan tangle, because it's Illinois and Nebraska are also playing. That's a second tier Big Ten, like head-to-head game. But I think the big one is Michigan and USC, and I think we're going to learn a little bit maybe about actually how deep the Big Ten might actually be this year beyond what we know are sort of the elite teams, which is Ohio State, Penn State, and Oregon. Michigan's a tweener. So that's the game I'm really excited to see more than anything else.
I'm excited about it, Andy. Now, you mentioned the Illinois-Nebraska game, which I'm very interested in seeing. That's Friday night, right?
That's correct. Correct.
That's tonight Friday. for many of the folks who are listening to this. Some of you might not listen to us until Saturday. That game would have already been played. But what I liked about the other two games we talked about, Oklahoma-Tennessee and Michigan-USC, is this is the beginning of those great games that we've talked about all summer that are created because of the realignment. And you could say, and I'm going to say this, okay? I don't like that the Pac-12 fell apart, okay?
I don't like it either.
I would have preferred it stayed together, all right? Agreed. Two things could be true, though. I could feel that way, and it's legitimate, but I could also feel like, oh boy, are we going to get some really good games because of this. And I think in the Big Ten, I think Michigan USC is the first one. And to kind of tie this back to what we were talking about with the 12-team playoff, Michigan got spanked by Texas, okay? That was as an out-of-conference game. In a 14 playoff world, good chance that would have cost Michigan. They're out of it. They're eliminated, done, toast, it's over. However, Andy, if Michigan can find a way to win this game against USC, they are right back in the middle of the playoff conversation.
Yeah, you're going to have these kind of swings week to week, right? Like, that's the way – we don't know it yet, but that's the way I feel this as with the 12-team playoff it's going to go. It's just going to be these huge, like, well, Michigan might be a friend in the old system. They'd be out, just like you said. But if they win this week, they're right back in the hunt, right? And I think we're going to be in week 10, 11, 12, and 13 and saying the exact same thing about half a dozen teams around the country. So that's the big momentum swings that sort of the consolidation of power is going to bring.
Exactly. And USC really elevated themselves with that win versus LSU. An out-of-conference game against a Southeast Conference power. I know it wasn't Alabama or Georgia, but LSU is in the upper tier in the Southeast Conference. USC managed to win that game. It completely changed the perception of USC. Completely changed it, Andy. And now there are enough games that teams play. So I'm looking at Michigan's schedule. After Texas, they still have this game against USC. They have a game against Oregon. And, of course, they have a game with Ohio State. So if they get through this season with, say, two losses.
Not bad.
And
you're talking about Michigan and the college football playoffs. Yeah, if that scenario plays out and they're a 10-2 team and you look at that schedule, yeah, you're talking about where does Michigan fit in the 12-team playoff.
And now if you look at USC and talking about how important this game against Michigan is, afterwards, their schedule is fairly manageable. Penn State at home is their biggest game otherwise. Looking at their schedule, Andy, after Michigan, it's Wisconsin, Minnesota, Penn State, Maryland, Rutgers, Washington, Nebraska, and UCLA. Other than the Penn State game, do you see another loss for USC there?
Possibly not by what I saw against LSU and the USC defense. That's the biggest difference for this team. Need a little bit more. They have a favorable schedule like Penn State does, I think. Right? They play each other, but I think across the board they have a little bit of a favorite schedule, and they're not playing, you know, they don't have three hammers.
Right. They avoid Oregon and they avoid Ohio State.
Correct.
And by doing that, that really adjusts their schedule. But Andy, this, again, tying it to that whole 12 team, you know, playoff and what it does to the regular season, boy, this Michigan game is huge for USC also.
It's bigger for Michigan than USC, but I think as a lid lifter for USC in the conference and establishing themselves in the Big Ten, who better to beat than Michigan, right? They come in to this year as the top dog. It is a huge game for USC. They've got to go on the road, too. That's the other part of it. And, you know, the strength, let's see if their defense travels again. I think it will, and I think this is a bit of a bad matchup for Michigan.
But it's also for USC going in there, no matter what, you play Michigan, it's going to be a physical kind of game.
Absolutely.
Big Ten football, so we'll see. Now shifting to the Southeast Conference and their big game, it's Oklahoma hosting Tennessee. And Andy, Tennessee is being looked at now as, hey, wait a minute, they might be that team that they blew out North Carolina State, okay, Chattanooga, Kent State, but they just walked over those teams. For Tennessee, they still have Alabama and Georgia on their schedule.
Correct.
So they have to beat Oklahoma. Meanwhile, Oklahoma also has a very tough schedule. They still have Texas, Ole Miss, Missouri, Alabama, LSU. It would really behoove this Oklahoma team to win this game at home against Tennessee.
Yeah,
monster game for both of them.
Yeah, both of them have, you know, this is a big game for both of them. But here's the thing about the SEC I wanted to point out for you, Jimmy. And it's already revealed itself, you know, early in the season, right? Like, let's face it, the SEC is the deepest conference in the country. You just watch, I watch 3 weeks worth of football and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm just give me a second here, Jimmy, and I'll just finish real quick. Texas, Georgia, LSU, Texas A&M, South Carolina, Alabama, Missouri, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Tennessee. That's 10 teams. Those are 10 possible potential playoff teams, and they're all going to beat each other up. So it's a very deep conference that is playing football at a very high level right now. we're not sure the Big Ten's as deep, right? Right now, I'm not sure. I still think the Big Ten's one of the power two, but I'm not sure if they're quite as deep as the SEC. But there's a little more – that's going to cause a little more consternation later in the season because of the 12-team college football playoff, which is what we're talking about.
I think the Southeast Conference is deeper, Andy, without a doubt. However, we're still dealing with the fact that they only play eight conference games. And what that has created is such a huge disparity among Southeast Conference teams. Take a look at Oklahoma and Texas came into the league together this year, Andy.
Yep.
Take a look at the two schedules.
I agree.
Oklahoma, just
brutal,
really brutal schedule. Texas, not so much.
Yep.
Missouri, by the way, not so much. You could have, there's going to be records by the final records by some of these teams that are going to be really based on the fact that they had a much easier schedule or a much tougher schedule, Andy. And I think that more than how good the teams actually are is going to determine these races. There's going to be controversy come playoff time. Trust me on that. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter number two. I have a show announcement when we come back for quarter three. Stick around. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's quarter three. And guess what, Andy?
What?
Jim screwed up. I screwed up.
Shocking.
I know that comes as a total surprise to you, but I messed up. This is supposed to be Ask Andy segment. I just messed up, Andy.
My favorite.
I didn't get the Ask Andy questions together for today, and there's no excuses. My fault. I'm the blame. I apologize to our listeners. If you sent your questions in for this week, I promise next week I will get to them. I will give priority to those questions that came in this week. Continue to send in your questions. Download our app, Keystone Sports. There's the Ask Andy button. Send your questions in. And if you want to and if you want to just blame me for messing up the segment, email. Go to the Ask Andy portion and you could yell at me there. All right. That means, Andy, it's me and you for quarter number three. And what I did want to talk to you about is I wanted to get some updates on both, well, all three. First, we're going to do Penn State, Big Ten, the national picture. Want to look at the team so far. We're through, 3 weeks of the season. Let's see where we are. Kind of a stock up, stock down kind of conversation. Let's start with Penn State.
Sure.
We saw an impressive win against West Virginia. Not so impressive win against Bowling Green. So where are you with the Nittany Lions? Stock up, stock down, or right in the middle?
Overall, I'm still right in the middle. I'll give you an individual stock up, and I think that is Drew Aller at the quarterback position. I think a lot of the things we talked about, it's eight quarters, but eight quarters is enough for me. So far, a lot of the things we talked about in the offseason, we weren't, there was not a single question about his arm talent or his ability or, all of that kind of stuff. And I want to preface, Jimmy, so there's a wide receiver one. There's still not a lot more help coming from the wide receiver position to him as a quarterback, and he is remarkably better than he was at any point a year ago through eight quarters. And that's all about him. Okay, Andy Kotelnicki might have part of it, you know, in sort of scheming and concept, but this is a stock up for me because it has been stark. It has been apparent and it has been clear. And I think he could be sort of a linchpin for Penn State as the season progresses, as you start looking at the next level in the college football playoffs and where this team could go. He's a stock up for me. Overall, I'm still a little, you know, I'm still not a stock up or stock down. I'm not sour on the defense, Jimmy. It was, they weren't ready. The other team had a really good plan. The quarterback was ridiculously good. You just have to give credit where credit was due. But they adjusted. So they've had six good quarters, two not good quarters. But that doesn't give me enough to go stock down on them. Not even close, Jimmy.
I'm with you. I think you made a great call there, Andy. Definitely Drew Aller stock up. The team, we don't know yet. We just haven't seen enough. I would, after West Virginia, yeah, I felt like stock up. After first half, especially in Bowling Green, I felt stock down. Let's average it out. Let's just say level par so far, Andy. Let's look at the rest of the Big Ten before we look at the picture nationally. Who sticks out to you? Who are teams? I'll let you go first. Give me a team. You can go either way, stock up or stock down.
I'll go stock up, and I'm giving you USC, Jimmy. Lincoln Riley's a smart offensive mind, right? Like, everyone knows that. And this is year three. I'm a big year three guy. But it's defensively, they were an absolute train wreck a year ago. And it was for a lot of different reasons, but the biggest was physical, right? Like, not big enough, not strong enough, getting pushed around like a tackling dummy, right? Like, literally, you could score on them so easily last year. And that was clearly not the case against LSU, that it was probably 75% of the same guys that had played significant amount of snaps the year before. And the coordinator, they were clearly better coordinated, organized. Still simple, very simple. You'll add layers to it. But USC is up. They look explosive offensively still. Lincoln Riley looks a little bit more comfortable in his own skin as a USC coach without a superstar quarterback to sort of cover up for the warts that are around that he was working through. And this defense is significantly better. And, like, I think you're going to learn about U.S. You're going to learn everything you need to know about USC's defense against Michigan this week. That's what I think. And it's not because of Michigan. It's because the way USC will go about its business on defense.
I think it's a great call, obvious call. Yes, USC stock up. I'm going to stay on the stock up side before we go stock down. I'm going to go with Nebraska, Andy. And here's why. I think so far so good, but also for a Nebraska team, when was the last time Nebraska had a difference maker at quarterback? Yeah. They've got a guy, he's a true freshman, okay? Yep. And there was the confidence to put him out there right away. And this is a guy that they could build around now. They could recruit around him, Andy. And so far, he's done the job. Nebraska has done the job. Now, for those of you who don't listen to our show until Saturday, and Nebraska's playing Illinois on Friday night, I may have to eat those words.
You might.
But so far, yeah, because I also have, you know, Illinois as a stock up, okay? So after that game against each other, I guess somebody's going to have to be going the other direction. But I'll give Nebraska, you know, the stock up right now. And I'm gonna set up the softball for you. I have as a stock down Michigan, Andy. You agree with that?
100%. They were my stock down too, Jimmy, for two reasons. One is the defensive coordinator. I'll start with on the defensive side of the ball. The defensive coordinator is calling a defense that I don't think he has the personnel to do. It does not look cohesive and capable. That's the other thing. I'm not sure the players they have out there are capable of executing the defense that he sort of wants them to be. And on the flip side of the ball for Michigan, it's a phrase I use all the time. What is their plan and purpose at quarterback? I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. It looks disjointed. It looks confusing. And you know, I think Michigan, you know, it's not a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, you know, Jim Harbaugh left for a reason, right? Like, there were many of them. One of them being, there's a price you pay for building it up like that. And, you know, I think the quarterback position, I'm not sure if they knew what decision they wanted to make and how they wanted to go. And it looks like that. It's looked like that all season, kind of.
Yeah. They've changed quarterbacks already. There were so many quarterbacks out in the portal. You'd think they could have gotten one and a decent one. Andy, with the couple minutes we have left, I want to look nationally too. Give me one or two stock ups nationally.
Yeah, Jimmy, I'm sorry about this. I'm going to beat the drum again. I'm the SEC. I mean, good gracious, have mercy. I can't wait to watch, you know, November, late October and early November SEC games, because I have no idea what the SEC is going to look like. I swear to gosh, who know? You know, you have a little bit more of an idea of what maybe the Big Ten will look like. Okay, and you've got Georgia and Alabama in the SEC, but good gracious, have mercy. I just think the SEC is stock up because it's just so deep, and it's not paper thin either, Jimmy.
Well, let me respond to that, Andy, because there is another side to it. You see, like a Georgia blowing out Clemson, huge, huge. But there's also some games that they lost. Remember, they had LSU lose to USC.
Correct.
They had Texas A&M lose to Notre Dame.
Correct.
You know, those kind of games. Missouri, supposed to be a top 10 team, they barely escaped BC, Andy.
Yeah, Penn State barely escaped Bowling Green, by the way. Anyway, next.
Yep, you're right. You're right. But I think that infallibility of the Southeast Conference, and I got to go look it up. I think I saw somewhere, Andy, that and it's the same for other conferences, but I believe the Southeast Conference is actually like in games against other Power Four conferences, their record is 500.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I just know what I'm watching and seeing. And if you go down to team 5, 6, 7, 8, I'm like, man, these are quality football teams. And say you switch over and watch an ACC team play, and you're like, yeah, no, I'm going back to the other one. I'm just using, you know, an eye test more than anything else. I'm like, whoo, man.
Well, I'll give you a couple actual teams now for stock up. I'll give you Texas. I'll give you Tennessee. And as a wild card in there, I mentioned them. I'm not the biggest Bill O'Brien fan, but I'm going to give them credit. BC, I know they lost to Missouri, but they represented themselves very well. I'll give Bill O'Brien and BC a stock up also, Andy.
Yes. Stock down, you got to go.
ACC.
You got to go ACC. I go Florida, Florida State. Florida's a hot mess. Might even be more of a mess than Florida State. I don't know which one you choose. Pick them, put them in a hat. But those two teams, whoo, man, they are a mess.
I have those two down too as kind of a joint venture there. Both Florida and Florida State. And Andy, it always, how do you mess up those programs? You get to recruit in the state of Florida, and you see players that are highly rated. They're, you know, a four-star guy, and then you look at the ranking within Florida. They are like ranked 50th or 60th in the state of Florida. Yep. There is just so much talent down there. How could you lose the way those two programs are?
And losing consistently now, right? Like, it always felt to me like the way FSU built it was a one-hit wonder.
It definitely appears to be that way. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter number 3. Stick around quarter four. We're going to talk Penn State news. Stick with us for that. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. Jim screwed up the Q3 Ask Andy segment. My apologies once more for that. But we had a fun segment anyway, talking stock up, stock down, throughout the country. And Andy, you were making the point of how good the Southeast Conference is. And I tried to poo-poo you a bit on that.
Good luck.
But between segments, I had to make the concession, especially at the very top of the conference. If you start with Georgia, Alabama, Texas, and maybe Tennessee, how many teams are there in the rest of the country that belong with that group? I'll start with Ohio State. Who else? And
I'll stop there. Sorry, Jimmy. Nobody. Ohio State, stop. Nobody else. I can't think of anybody else so far. It's been 3 weeks, but yeah, nobody.
All right, let's move on to Penn State. But before we get there, Andy, just one more reminder.
Sure.
Tuesday evening, September 24th, we're gonna be doing a live show from the Great Cafe, downtown State College. Cafe 210 West. Their name is their address. You all know it. Legendary place. We're going to have Rogers Alexander with us for the show starting at 6 o'clock on Tuesday evening. Please come out and join us. Get there early. There's great meal specials from the cafe. We're going to have Pulp Daddy beer. If you haven't tried it yet, Hazy IPA, you're going to love it. Trust me on that one. So that is Tuesday, September 24th. That's upcoming Tuesday. All right, Andy, I promised some Penn State news. Let's start there. It starts with some bad news. We find out KJ Winston, significant injury. You know, this is James Franklin, the way he talks, vague enough that could mean the rest of the season. It could mean a month. We don't know. But how does Penn State react to that? They've been starting three safeties. All of a sudden, this kind of changes the formula a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was my biggest question. First of all, it feels like in the James Franklin language that he's done for the year, right? Like, no timetable, the word long-term. He's a loss. He was the leading tackler last year. I mean, he came out of the gate in that first game against West Virginia just – he's a leader. You know what I mean? He's one of those identified leaders, right, Jimmy? One of those guys they talk about that is a leader on that side of the ball and a leader overall for this team. So those are all tangible losses. It's going to be hard. You don't replace a guy like that. Are they going to be 4-2-5? Can they be 4-2-5 without him? Right? Like, I'm not saying they can't be. I'm not sure what Tom Allen, you know, has. He's got a couple redshirt freshmen. If he wants to keep, you know, Reed down in the slot and still run a 4-2-5, he's going to look at a couple redshirt freshmen to play safety. Do they switch safety positions? They've had a couple weeks to work on this. I don't think you're going to learn anything against Kent State other than who the live bodies are out there. But it will be a little bit of a work in progress long term, because they were pretty much, you know, an exclusive and committed to being a 4-2-5 defense. And it, you know, it was working. It works for them with the personnel. Does it change because of this? I think you're not going to find out this week. I think you're going to find out over a course of two or three games.
Well, what we may find out is who's first in line, okay, Andy, what they're thinking as to who they're going to keep in. Are they going to keep Reed in the line position, or are they going to bring in an extra cornerback? Are they going to use Dom DeLuca, you know, make it a third linebacker? We may find out what their intentions are at Kent State, see who they put out early and often, say, in the first quarter or so, because the game could get ugly, you know, pretty quickly. But, yes, this one's a significant injury. I don't know. I think James Franklin will often say when it's a season-ending injury.
Right.
And he didn't use that terminology. Who knows? And we often – it always is interesting to me, Andy, that with these injuries, they always place a timeline on it as if it's that easy. Okay, this is a four-week injury. This is a six-week injury.
Right, right, right.
That same injury, you know, as someone who's broken bones, sprained things, done things where, you know, initially it's like, oh, Jim, that cast will come off in 2 weeks. Well, 6 weeks later and the cast is still on. You know, sometimes you just don't, it's not that precise, Andy. So we shall see with KJ Winston. Hopefully he's back sooner than later, because he's just not a player on a defense. He's a special player.
He is the player on the second level, or on the third level, excuse me, of Penn State's defense. He was the man, right? Like, he was the dog. He does everything well and at a next level. He's an NFL talent caliber player, playing like an NFL talent caliber player that has now been removed. And they're deep, right? We've talked about it, Jimmy. They've got depth. They do. They've got depth and options. And it is at the deepest position they have defensively. Well, I think you could argue defensive tackle might be just as deep, but you're going to learn about the depth of the safety position. And I'm not saying it's going to look the same, but I don't think it's going to fall off a cliff either. I don't see that happening in any way, shape, or form. Too many top options for Tom Allen to go other directions and change things with losing a player like this, that they're not going to – it's not going to hurt them. It wounds them, but it doesn't hurt them.
Andy, I think, though, there's one thing losing a player. It's another thing losing a star. And the other thing to point out is King Mack leaving now makes a difference. All right, Andy, game coming up this weekend. We've avoided talking about it. They're playing Kent State. Glorified scrimmage, I think, is the way you put it. Kent State is literally, Andy, literally the worst team. I think it's The Athletic, puts out 134 teams.
Yep.
They do the ranking. And guess where Kent State finishes?
134.
134 is correct, sir. Correct. Literally the worst team. So I guess the question becomes more, Andy, what do you want to see from Penn State in this kind of game?
There's like three or four different things. Which, by the way, I think, what is Penn State, like a 50-point favorite? And
Last I looked, it was 49.
Yeah, and by the way, if you had Kent State and 70, was it, you told me last week, you lost.
You lost.
Yeah, so that's the kind of that's what we're talking about here. So I say this tongue-in-cheek. How about Julian Fleming getting, you know, like some receptions. That would be something that I would be looking for. I'm looking for second and third team guys in the second, early third quarter at the latest is the other side of it. I don't want to see Nick Allen and Catron Allen very much. I'd like to see them get like 10, 12 touches combined and do a little bit of damage and, you know, take a walk in the park and enjoy your Saturday afternoon. It's those kind of things that I think those are the important things for me. I'd like to see the freshman quarterback, right? Like, we know what Bo Prabula is. He's your number two quarterback. He's going to play some, but get your freshman in there. You know, give him a half. Heck, if this game's over at halftime, Bo Pabula is valuable enough. Get him out too, right? Like, I don't think I want to see a whole lot of him in this game. So those are a few of the things that hit on that strike me for the level of a controlled, refereed, official game scrimmage that this is going to be.
All right, Andy, you gave what you want to see. I'm going to give what I don't want to see, okay?
Negative Jimmy, alert.
I don't want to see all those penalties. I don't want to see the drop passes. I don't want to see the quarterback and the wide receiver on a different page. So the receiver's cutting one way and the quarterback's throwing it the other way. I don't want to see those missed tackles on defense. I don't want to see those communication issues with the guy with the green dot on his helmet on the defense, like we saw against Bowling Green. I want to see them having straightened that out. In other words, Andy, I don't want to see the kind of mistakes that they've made in the last week or two that had nothing to do with the opponent and had everything to do with them. Self-inflicted wounds. Don't want to see those, Andy. I just want to see a clean game. So
Jimmy, in the penalty sphere, what is, like, football's not a game of perfect.
Right. There were too many penalties, Andy, but they were like offsides. No excuse for that.
Right.
Jumping and some of the holding. I know holding is kind of nebulous, but there were, you know, where it wasn't really necessary. It kills a drive. You get a third down completion for first down, and all of a sudden the penalty, now it's third and 20. So, don't want to see those kind of things, Andy. Now, in the last minute or so, we still have to do it, though, Andy. We still have to get a prediction and a bold prediction. How are you going?
59-7? How's that? Bold prediction. Oh, man, I didn't even think of one.
Well, you think about it. I'm real quick making prediction based on the spread, Andy. I read this somewhere that three times James Franklin has had this kind of spread, and he's covered all three times. Yeah. Okay.
I'm covering.
So I'll take the Nittany Lions to cover also. This is me stalling for you, Andy, to get your bold prediction going.
Three turnovers by the defense. How about that one?
That's a good one. How about mine, Andy? And maybe this isn't so bold, but I'm going to say we're going to have Nick Singleton get an over 50-yard run somewhere here. And in the passing game, they're going to get an over, say, well, I'll use the same thing, an over 50-yard completion for a touchdown. So they're going to get the explosive plays here, Andy. All right, that's it for the show. Thank you for joining us. And I promise, next week we will do Ask Andy. We'll see you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.